Welcome, everybody, to Live with Dr. Carolyn Dean. Carolyn is amazing. She's a doctor, she's a naturopath, she's an herbalist, she's an acupuncturist. She's going to tell you exactly what she would do if she were in your shoes. I can't think of a person who has devoted more time to helping people's health than Dr. Carolyn Dean. She can make a huge difference as you listen to her words of wisdom. We know she's ahead of time because she is the doctor of the future. Welcome, Dr. Carolyn Dean.
Hi, Jenny. How are you?
I'm doing great, Carolyn. How are you?
Well, as you know, it's been a sad week, but we will press on.
We are pressing on. And for those of you who are just encountering the magnificent, the marvelous, and the magical Dr. Carolyn Dean here on X or on YouTube or on Facebook, we welcome you to the show. Dr. Dean is a medical doctor and a naturopath and a world-renowned expert in magnesium and mineral supplementation and yeast overgrowth. She is the author of many, many books, including The Legendary Magnesium Miracle, and she has taught most everyone about magnesium directly or indirectly. And tonight she's here to tell you what she knows about what's going on in the world and what she's commenting on tonight in terms of magnesium and magnesium deficiency, the Maha agenda, her medical opinions on health topics of the day, and all kinds of other good things. Anything else you want to add, Carolyn?
No, that's perfect. But Rachel, I thought we would jump to the Maha agenda since there was the announcement today about the factors that could be causing autism. And, you know, there were a lot of promises made about what we would hear. We heard some things, I'd like to comment on them, but I guess what I'd say is what they laid out today makes us realize we are responsible for our own health. And this is where you go back to even my book, what was it, Future Health Now Encyclopedia, and look up the alternatives for fever, because what was said, President Trump, he generalized the information before he stepped on the toes of everybody else who came after him. And he talked about the Tylenol being a problem if a pregnant mother or pregnant woman takes Tylenol, that can affect the fetus. And Jenny, he must have said it a dozen times, don't take Tylenol. But like every sort of, I don't know, I guess, big medicine, big government statement, they offer no alternatives, but I'll get to that. And he spoke out against the day one hepatitis B shot for infants. On day one, they're given a hepatitis B shot to prevent sexually transmitted hepatitis. And he said they wanted to have mercury and aluminum removed. And all he said about the vaccines otherwise is spread them out. Don't take them all at once. I guess he meant with the MMR. And I don't know if they put another R in there, but to take the measles separate from the mumps and separate from the rubella. Now, what's that going to do? I suppose if they don't have the aluminum and the mercury, that's going to be helpful. But as I've heard, the way they produce the big batches of these immunization fluids, they use mercury throughout the process because it's the best anti-bug chemical that they have. And then they say, well, then we remove it. And I don't know if they remove it all, but that there's some concern about mercury, even in the non-mercury shots. And this business about spreading out the vaccines, that means you're going to make more doctor's appointments, which is good for doctors. They're going to get paid for all those extra visits. So it makes them happy. The vaccine companies are happy because they didn't stop the vaccines. Now, this may be a stepwise infiltration into the vaccine world to show the side effects. So there was talk about lots of ongoing research and that it would be reported to the public once they confirmed associations with autism. And then Dr. McCary, he talked about the first ever treatment for autism. It's a synthetic form of folate, vitamin B9. It's called leucovorin. And we know folate is necessary to prevent birth defects, but the synthetic form, folic acid or this leucovorin, is suddenly being used. Okay. So leucovorin, you can look it up. It's a precursor to something called folinic acid. And it's commonly used to counteract the toxic effects of certain chemotherapeutic drugs that kill folate in the body and to treat folate deficiency. So they know this drug. So why is the synthetic form being given instead of just telling people to take natural folate, which is what we use in our B vitamin formula, Realign? Why the synthetic form? Oh yeah, right. It's a prescription drug. So that keeps the pharmaceutical companies and doctors in the loop. Oh, and there's one more thing. It's an injection. Now, either intravenous or intramuscular. I don't know if they'll have an oral form for babies or a liquid form. They didn't say anything about that. But when you look up local leucovorin, it's IM or IV. So this medication is typically administered in hospital or clinic settings by a healthcare professional. More need for pain doctor visits. And then at the end, President Trump came out with a story of a child that he knew getting a vaccination, and the child was damaged. And he said he's seen two or three other children damaged. No one else in the whole press conference said anything about vaccine damage. Even the two mothers of autistic children didn't say how they thought their children got autistic symptoms or behaviors. So again, brave of President Trump to say that. So what I get out of this is we have to start educating people on how to naturally treat a fever. You can look up how do you naturally treat fever with lots of fluids, ice chips, light clothing, cool baths, plenty of fluids, as I said. There are herbs that you can use, herbal teas. Now, that's not for infants, of course. Lemon juice with raw honey, but you're not supposed to give raw honey to babies. So there's so many contraindications that your doctor may be concerned about. But what did I used to do? I used to give or recommend homeopathics for fever. You can search this as well. Homeopathy for fever. Aconite, belladonna, Nux vomica, gelsimium, Bryonia alba, Natrum mur, M-U-R. All these are important to have on hand. And we have had homeopathic practitioners on the program. I'll get Ginny to remind us the name of the person that we were talking to help her promote homeopathy. I don't know if it's been banned yet, but this is exactly why it was homeopathy was being attacked, is to keep us away from non-drug information and remedies. So over to you, Ginny.
Very good. Mary Aspinwall. Mary Aspinwall was the guest that we had on to talk about homeopathy. She does have a book, a page on Facebook, and you can look up her credentials and decide if you want to pursue her expertise. She does do consults, I believe, still. Homeopathy has not been banned. And of course, that's something that the FDA and the HHS is talking about, which is to get homeopathy more in the mainstream and not so vigorously attacked. I have a question for you, Carolyn, about the announcement today. And already on social media, I'm seeing a lot of natural practitioners like Sherry Tenpenny and Mary Bowden and things being critical of the fact that, you know, tossing their hair, oh, we knew about acetaminophen 15 years ago and now it's being banned, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, is that really an attitude? Why? There's so many people, obviously, that didn't know about it just because a handful of natural practitioners know that. Shouldn't the FDA label the product accordingly?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that's just, what I could say there is every topic we have, I could say, oh, I talked about that and wrote about it in Death by Modern Medicine in 2005. Sure, the people who really delve into this, we know this information, but it's just awesome that it is getting out to the general public. So yes, we should be happy for it. And we have no idea of the slippery slope, the blade that President Trump and RFK Jr. are walking on to try not to be shot in the head by big pharma, big medicine, big everything, as they just slay the whole commercialization of children's health. So I'm happy for anything that we get. And I'm happy that we have a forum that we can tell people the news that you won't hear from the government for another 20 years. Right. We're just ahead of the curve.
Right. And let me ask you this. What about what they said about how the cooperation between the entities that they're doing this holistic between the FDA and the NIH and the CDC and the HHS to pool their resources and talents together to delve into this information, to use AI, which they said they were using as a research assistant, to bring out the best information that they can find that gives them the clarifying terms. What do you think about that? Because I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, apparently it's never happened before. Every once in a while you'll hear something like, well, we tried to get the records from this other agency and we were blocked. We couldn't get all the items we needed. Constantly hear that. So that all these agencies were in their own bubble. It was like a fiefdom. So with all these, you know, friendships between the heads of these agencies, we're finally opening the vault. So that's very important as well.
Yeah, very good. Very good. So overall, we're making little teeny tiny steps, I guess, in the right direction. I didn't know anything about acetaminophen. And of course, I immediately started racking my brain about all the people that are near and dear to me that have having children recently and wondering, oh, I hope they didn't take Tylenol and whatever their health challenge was. So I think it is relevant information for today. And I'm just glad that somebody's doing something. And right. You know, it's like to relabel products, Carolyn. So they got their hands full.
Right. Yes. The warning labels, every doctor in the country is going to get a letter. And like I said, this is where hopefully people will start investigating. Well, what can I do for a fever? And find vitamins and minerals and herbs and homeopathy, because we dealt with fever long before we had Tylenol. So it just puts us back in where we take responsibility and take action ourselves.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And those were your opening words, and I thought they were great. We really do have to take responsibility for our own health. Mm-hmm. And we can't rely on the government or other large entities to be our advisors. We really got to go down that rabbit hole for ourselves. Wonderful. Wonderful.
So we go back to the beginning now, Rachel, with our library, where our prominent featured book is Exposing Sugar Toxicity, A Clinical Perspective. That's on Amazon right now, one of a trio of books, the first of a trio. And this week's blog is about sugar feeding yeast overgrowth. Mm. And you can read it at drcarolindean.com. And I won't read out the paper. I haven't been doing that. I just sort of ramble a bit about the topic. And I'll start by saying how surprised I was when I was researching the sugar book that most sugar authors are overlooking the fact that sugar and yeast overgrowth are connected. You eat sugar, you feed yeast. And then with yeast overgrowth, I've said for decades that it's yeast overgrowth and magnesium deficiency that can be responsible for autoimmune disease. And I'd also say responsible for chronic disease. And with this yeast business, yeast is normal to the large intestine in a budding stage. You see in the picture there, the buds. But then if you, let me go to the list, if you're taking antibiotics or have taken antibiotics, a diet high in sugar, carbs, yeast and yeast products, moldy foods, fermented foods even. Now, fermented foods, I'd sidebar that because we do have to get our natural probiotics from some fermented foods. But in the beginning of treating yeast, we usually recommend people avoid fermented foods. So it's sugar, antibiotics, alcohol, steroid hormones, stress itself, mercury in dental fillings or vaccines. It's called thimerosal. They go on and on about thimerosal, this, that, and never say it's mercury. So same thing. Birth control pills, immunosuppressant drugs, pregnancy, exposure to molds at home, or untreated water damage. So you think of all the floods people have had. They're all being exposed to mold. Chlorine in drinking water, shower and bath water, and swimming pools. Fluoride in drinking water, toothpaste and dental treatments, and drugs. So all these things are going to be harboring or stimulating yeast to crawl from the large intestine up into the small intestine. And in the small intestine, they're little thread-like organisms. They're no longer the buds. They're a thread. And they start irritating the inner lining of the small intestine and cause a leaky gut. And it's very unfortunate. Anything you read now about the intestinal microbiome or SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, they're really not focusing on yeast, which I think is one of the original causes. So basically, we're asking people to look at yeast overgrowth, get in touch with our customer experience team. They can, if you become a member, they can send you, can they be sent my yeast overgrowth book? Ginny, is that available?
We've broken it down into the sugar toxicity book and others. But if you remember, they get the sugar toxicity book at no charge. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you can read about it and then find out our treatments, which I developed these treatments because I was trying to treat yeast with a strict diet for years. No sugar, no gluten, no dairy, and taking antifungal herbs and probiotics didn't really do the trick. So I created a gentle antifungal probiotic along with our Pico Silver that I find myself and for thousands of our customers, it's very helpful for keeping yeast under control because you can't kill it all. And what you want is for it to live compatibly in the large intestine and also allow you to at least eat some fruit and dessert here and there. But sugar is toxic. And that's what you'll be reading about in my sugar book. So there. Back to you, Ginny.
So there. That's one of my favorite things you say. Excellent. Excellent. That's the sum of all things. Mm-hmm. If you have questions tonight, be sure to take advantage of the chat. We've got live watchers on Facebook, on X, and here at YouTube as well. All right, Carolyn, what's next?
Questions and comments. Here's a testimonial. If you have neuropathy, use Remag lotion to soothe the nerves when the fire and cramping start. I have not found anything better. Dr. Carolyn Dean makes it with other products and has books and great customer service and fast delivery. So that's a sweet testimonial. And every once in a while, I don't know if it's monthly, maybe Ginny could tell us, we do surveys on our customers to find out how we're doing, see how we can do better. And our most recent survey for our customer satisfaction indicates a high positive experience. All respondents rated their chat interaction as happy with a perfect score and highlighting quick, thorough, and helpful service. And comments such as quick, thorough response, patient and helpful, and expressions of gratitude suggest strong satisfaction with the support received. So that is awesome. So congratulations to you, Ginny, and Sarah, and all the people in customer service. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we have a great customer service team. We are still a brand that actually answers the phone, and we don't screen you 18 different times with the big robot trying to funnel you to the right person so they only have to say three words. We're not into that. We let you talk to real people, real time, who've been with us a really long time and really know their stuff, and they really love Carolyn, and they really love you, and they want to see you get the very best for your health, and they're going to assist you any way they can, and that's customer service, and they're there most of the time, I think 9 to 8, Monday through Friday. And so please take advantage of their expertise. And if you forget the number, they're right on the front of our website. All you have to do is click the button. We have chat feature and everything. So there's no excuses. Look them up. They're wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Very good. Because as we've said many times before, the main problem situation with customers' concerns is we find out that they're not taking enough, not taking all the products that they really need, or they're just trying to dose themselves with everything once in the morning and think that's it. We want people, as we've been telling Rachel, our producer, we want people to put all their liquid minerals in their sea salted drinking water with their vitamin C berry powder for a good taste and drink that water throughout the day. Do not just dose yourself where you'll just waste your minerals. You'll urinate them out or they will go out in the stool because the cells get overloaded and can't take in anymore. So onward to pros and cons of supplements, drugs, and research, Ginny?
Yes, please.
Okay, now here's something I came across. It was Dr. Thomas Levy. He's been on a lot of shows recently. I guess he's got a new book out. And he was talking about nebulizing hydrogen peroxide for infections, sinus infections, preventing colds and flus and all the rest of it. So I wanted to sort of draw a comparison between nebulizing hydrogen peroxide and nebulizing our picosilver. So picosilver is a stabilized ion of silver. It doesn't have a preservative. It's just itself. So you can nebulize straight pico silver. Doesn't have any acrid acidity or anything. It's smooth. So how do I compare the two? What do I say? Hydrogen peroxide can kill both harmful and good bacteria. It's one thing. So while it's effective at reducing harmful bacteria, it can disrupt beneficial microbial communities. Long-term use of hydrogen peroxide as a mouthwash can lead to the loss of good bacteria and worsen oral dysbiosis. And it can also cause imbalance in the gut microbiome, because the gut microbiome in part depends on the bacteria in the mouth being swallowed and populating the gut microbiome. It's kind of cool. Now, pico silver, it supports all the functions of the immune system and white blood cells, and includes stimulating stem cell production and increasing the number of white blood cells. It also works to balance the microbiome. It doesn't just kill microbes indiscriminately like antibiotics. Now, the words I'm reading here are taken from my Pico Silver booklet. I say booklet because it's not that many pages, and that's something that members can also get from customer service, if you're a member. So the Pico Silver attaches to white blood cells to seek and destroy bacteria, viruses, and yeast, and augments the myriad of other functions of white blood cells. So it's not just killing bacteria, which is what white blood cells do, but it helps white blood cells do their work. So it's not just killing like hydrogen peroxide. It detoxifies the debris from dying organisms. That's curtailing the Herxheimer reaction as they fight infection. A lot of people, when they get into a yeast detox, they give it up because they have so much yeast die-off. All the 78 toxins of yeast metabolism flood the system and cause all kinds of side effects. So Pico Silver does help prevent that Herxheimer reaction. And I was blown away when I did the research on this and found that silver stimulates stem cell production, enhancing all tissue lines and participating in tissue regeneration, including remarkable wound healing. And I mean, most of us know that silver is still used in burn units. If someone has body burns, they will put silver impregnated gauze over all the wounds to help the healing. And that's because silver does tissue regeneration. And it does not build up in tissues, and it enhances the intestinal microbiome. And then I have some words about several studies. I think there were 6 studies. 5 of them proved that the silver does not kill good bacteria. So you can read that in the booklet if you'd like more information, like to download it. But that's the difference between Pico Silver and hydrogen peroxide. And before I go to the next topic in this, supplement and research topic, I'll go to Ginny to see if she has anything to say.
Well, I do have a question here, and this is from Michelle. She says, Dr. Dean, can you talk about how to use diatomaceous earth for candida? I started it last week, and I heard it's best to take it 10 days on and 10 days off. What do you think? Do you agree?
Yeah, I do have it. I never get around to using it. Diatomaceous earth, I haven't recommended for candida, but for parasites. And it's not that I got away from it, but I kind of forgot about it, because what I found is people who are on our yeast protocol, Flora Revive and Pico Silver, did not come back to us with complaints of parasites or diagnosis of parasites. So I did not go into diatomaceous earth. I do not know how to dose it. So you'd have to do some searching and see if there's a consensus of how it's used. What it is, it's I guess it's the shells of something or other, all ground down. So these shells are like little spicules that apparently puncture parasites physically. Mm. And they're killing parasites in the intestinal tract, which is good if your parasites are in your intestinal tract. Parasites can be anywhere. And what I think that's happening with our participants in our grand experiment of taking our formulas is that we are stimulating all the detoxification pathways. We are, you know, with our REMAG, we've told you that after several months, if someone is just taking REMAG, they will start having yeast die-off symptoms as the immune system kicks in and starts saying, oh, let's get rid of some of this extra yeast. And as I said, if we're treating yeast, then with our Flora Revive and Pico Silver, we're not allowing the environment that will harbor parasites. If we have enough magnesium to keep our stomach acid intact, if we swallow a parasite, the stomach acid is supposed to kill it. The body has all these mechanisms for foreign invaders. So if we keep our body healthy by keeping our cells healthy, which is what all our formulas do, then we are preventing getting ourselves into the, you know, a parasite state. Taurine, for example, is in our Realign. Taurine and methionine, they're sulfur-based amino acids, and the sulfur part is used in the sulfation detoxification pathways in the liver. And taurine, if you look up the phases of detoxification, taurine is active in phase 3. You can download that complexity if you like. But as I've said many times, every one of the nutrients that we have in our formulas has multiple purposes. Taurine is also good for keeping the bile soluble. It supports heart health. So everything that you're doing with your formulas is preventing things like getting parasites. But I know myself over the decades, I would try everything. And it wasn't until I used my own formulas that I found I didn't need to experiment anymore. I no longer have to biohack.
No more biohacking. Yay! Mm-hmm. Yay! Well, I know Michelle said that she's taking 4 teaspoons of Pico Silver, 4 Flora Revive every day. And she's still got some stubborn yeast. So I'm going to ask her to reach out to me through customer service and maybe see if I can get some more details and drill down a little bit and help, because she's talked about this several times on the chat over the last couple of weeks. And I know it's frustrating when you're doing everything you think you should be doing and you're not getting relief. So we'll walk through it, Michelle, and see what else we can do. Okay.
Yeah, and you know what we often do with that, I'm just looking up a file here. If someone is doing everything, okay, so we'll look for mold. We'll look for something in the diet. We'll look for something new that's happened. And then we'll go to Total Biology, German New Medicine, and try to figure out, okay, what is the conflict that is resulting in yeast. In Chinese medicine, they talk about dampness, and what is causing the dampness is it something that's in the diet that is causing dampness? There are certain herbs that are drying. There are certain herbs that are that are hydrating. I mean, there's all kinds of layers, and it's very exciting. We learn every time someone, has a problem or doesn't get fully embraced by our formulas. And we're happy to as Ginny said, she's going to work work with our customer to make sure that we're uncovering everything we can. What I have in my total biology notes here is a lot of cancers are benefited by fungi and yeast. They help chew up the cancer. Whereas, you know, there's some schools of thought that say, well, fungus and yeast is causing cancer. So I mean, there are many layers to what the body's doing. And we really have to more often believe that the body's doing the best it can for us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what I've always learned from you. That's for sure.
At this in one of my lectures. It was a total biology class. I didn't do German New Medicine. I did the French version from a doctor out of Quebec, Canada. But anyway, Candida is a mycosis fungi. And what it expresses or is that I regret that I didn't express my resentment towards somebody. So what does that mean? I regret that I didn't express my resentment. You're holding back maybe your tears. Are you holding back something that you wanted to express? So Candida is normal, but sometimes too much. So there's a lack of balance. What else? No, it's too detailed. But I think that even just that little bit is can be useful to someone. Actually, let me just give a little case of someone recently in my world who she got in touch with me, a young person, maybe in her late 30s, and she was rushed to the hospital because she had loss of vision in one eye, and they said it was an acute case of glaucoma. And glaucoma is just like a swelling of the eye, and it creates a certain vision as if you're looking through a big, thick glass. So I looked up total biology, and I sent the words to her about you're trying to focus down on something that you're trying to see with better clarity. Something has remained unclear to you. You're trying to focus on it. And in doing so, you create this glaucoma situation. And this was just in messaging. I didn't even talk to her on the phone. And she said, bang on. I went through what Total Biology said. I realized this, and this. She didn't even describe to me. She said, I just breezed through a number of things that I thought could be the problem, and my vision cleared. So, and I mean, she was amazed. I'm always amazed, even though I know it works so incredibly well, the learning the conflict. So I'll leave it at that.
Very good. Outstanding. Well, that should be very encouraging to Michelle one way or the other. We're going to get to the bottom of it. No worries. We're on the scene. And she's a very, very loyal listener. So thank you for that, Michelle, too. All right, Carolyn, are we on to topics now?
No.
Oh.
I've got a couple more under what is supplements, drugs, and research.
Okay.
So listening to Dr. Robert Lustig, our anti-high fructose corn syrup pediatric endocrinologist, he had a recent podcast on whey protein powder as the perfect protein for your muscles. And he talked about it in terms of aging and for the elderly. There's a I don't know. I guess I'm on the feed of all these health podcasts because I listen to health podcasts, and they talk about the sarcopenia, which is the muscle loss as you age. You do not have to lose muscle. Is my muscle showing?
No, there it is.
There's my muscle. You can build muscle at any age. And maybe it's because I take Restructure, our whey protein powder. It's from whey from New Zealand, so it's antibiotic-free, etc. So he says, Lustig says, whey protein powder prevents muscle loss. It's high in leucine, which is necessary to trigger muscle growth. It has more leucine per gram than any other food. It also contains bioactive peptides. And you hear a lot about peptides now. So whey has bioactive peptides, not synthetic peptides, that support immunity, reduce inflammation, and improve gut health. It's rapidly absorbed, unlike meat or fish. Muscle is a metabolic and immune organ. I mean, they say metabolic because when you exercise, your muscle cells require a lot of glucose. So you use up glucose and you keep your blood sugar down and you prevent insulin spikes. So muscles are very important. And then he says, whey is more important for older adults than young adults. Because he said a lot of athletes are using protein powders, but the older adults need it even more. I guess in the elderly, if you have a reduced appetite, you need the efficiency of whey. Higher protein intake protects bone density, supports weight management, and blood pressure. By maintaining muscle, you reduce the risk of falls and improve metabolic flexibility. Now, I found this after I realized that I hadn't been taking enough Restructure. I only eat 2 meals a day. I didn't want to waste one of my meals on Restructure. I wanted real food. So what I do for my dessert, which is my avocado, a quarter of a banana, cacao, coconut milk, and a little bit of vanilla, I put in a half a scoop of Restructure and make it just this incredible creamy chocolate pudding. So that's how I'm taking my Restructure for my muscles. So what do you think of that, Jenny?
Well, I think whatever you're doing is working. And I know everybody who's listening wants it to work as well for them as it works for you. And that is the principle behind this podcast, is how can you be just like Dr. Carolyn Dean? And what would Dr. Carolyn Dean do? Because she is knocking it out of the park, sailing around on Maui, doing her life with her big muscles and her organic farm. And she's living everything we all want to live. So, yes, I think it's fantastic. And a lot of people love Restructure. It's one of our best products. And so if you're not using it, see if you can figure out a way to incorporate it. Not only does it have the great whey protein, but we can't underestimate the 2 grams of lysine you get with every serving. And as you continue to go down the road with us, you're going to understand more and more the importance of lysine.
Very good. Thank you. Yeah. The next, I'm continuing on because I'm listening to all these podcasts and totally critiquing them all the time. My new friend, Nick Norwitz, Nick Norwitz, young guy, MD, PhD, brilliant little guy, but not a naturopath. So he doesn't really know the whole nutrient level of things, but he has a broadcast titled Mind Blowing Metabolism Breakthroughs from the Last Year. So he's going on about an olive compound that boosts muscle performance. And he says mitochondrial calcium uptake declines during aging. Mitochondrial calcium uptake declines during aging. And anytime you hear about calcium kind of being a problem up or down, you think magnesium. Would it decline? And I don't even know exactly what that means, but magnesium helps calcium go in and out of cells. So anyway, this mitochondrial calcium uptake declining during aging is directly activated by oleuropine, O-L-E-U-R-O-P-I-N-E, O-L-E-U-R-O-P-I-N-E, to boost energy metabolism and skeletal muscle activity. Muscle contraction depends on calcium signaling and activating energy production. Calcium flows through a gateway assisted by a mitochondrial calcium uniporter regulator. With age, it declines along with muscle mass and function. And apparently, this company screened over 5,000 compounds and found this compound revs up this function. And in mice, it improves endurance. So I went to PubMed and found a paper about this MCU activity that helps calcium get in. And of course, the conclusion was our findings support a critical role for magnesium in regulating MCU activity and reducing calcium overload. So there, Nick, look at magnesium instead of this. I mean, they just go off on their research tangents to find some sort of drug, because they'll turn it into a drug. They'll make it synthetically and pretend it's going to work on more than mice. So for the final one, Nick again reported on a recent statin study that confirmed earlier studies that statins are associated with an increased risk of diabetes, insulin resistance, and significantly lowered GLP-1 levels in humans. So the most profitable drug taken by 1 in 4 people, with Ozempic, is being given to people who are taking a statin and lowering that. So people take a statin, it lowers their GLP, they get overweight, and they have to take a GLP. And this was a study in cell metabolism, a good paper. And he says this should have been headline news, but of course it won't be if it attacks a drug. So that's it for those comments. I know I did go on, and I have to do helpful hacks now.
Yeah,
Rachel. But look, I'm hijacking hacks. Personally, not me, but hacks are being hijacked. How many times have you seen something like, well, you don't need 8 hours sleep, and then they'll tell you why. And then someone else will come with the podcast. You must get 7 to 8 hours sleep, or you are toast, or don't cook meat in an air fryer. I mean, all these musts and shoulds and do's and don'ts are clickbait, and they're driving people crazy. And that's why people come to our show, Ginny. So there.
I love that. I love being, we are the antidote to clickbait. And I love that. That yeah. is wonderful. I'm very yeah. pleased with that. Yeah.
So any questions on your end before I go to our 4 articles that we usually do?
Well, our wonderful Super Dougie does use Restructure at night for a snack. And I think that's a wonderful idea, because it puts nice protein in your body before you go to sleep, and it loads you up with vitamin C and lysine, so your arteries can do their important work while you're resting. So I think that sounds wonderful. So Super Dougie gets a gold star today.
I think so, because you know, when I read about the whey protein, it's easy to digest. So it's not going to rumble around in your stomach. It's just going to go in and be absorbed and do its work. And yes, while we're sleeping is when we do relaxation and repair. So that's awesome.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Super Dougie.
Very good. All right, let's hit the articles.
First one, your patients may not know which foods are ultra processed. So what do you get from that title? They're trying to placate the ultra processed food industry. A recent survey by the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine found out something. Now, the first thing you have to know, when you read an article like this, you should look up, well, who's the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine? Now, I know of them, of course. They're a vegetarian group. So what are they going to tell us? So they found that among a representative sample of Americans aged 18 to 92, customers are equally divided about whether all processed foods are unhealthy. And it's an online survey of 2,200 participants. Sounds pretty, you know, like a good number. Study authors were particularly alarmed that younger participants failed to identify meat as a processed food, considering its tendency to raise risks for diabetes, colorectal cancer, and cardiovascular disease. So there's the bias. Can you believe that? Can you believe what a plant-based organization says about meat? When you can look at the keto, paleo, and carnivore diets, as they say, well, it decreases risk for diabetes, colorectal cancer, and cardiovascular disease. And they went on in this study to say the participants also didn't seem to recognize that plant-based foods, even breakfast cereals considered ultra-processed, can reduce the risk for these conditions. Oh my gosh. So his name is Barnard. It sounds like barnyard, but anyway, he believes doctors can help their patients make better dietary choices if they explain that when it comes to processed foods, low-fat, plant-derived foods are typically healthy and animal-derived foods are typically unhealthy. So there you go. Bias, bias, bias. The next study, antidepressants plus beta blockers equals health risks. So I'm sure studies have been done looking at the interaction of two drugs, but it's rare. Polypharmacy is dangerous and should be a concern for doctors who see patients taking many different pills. So the article begins with, patients with both cardiovascular and psychiatric conditions often require beta blockers and antidepressants together, but their interactions can alter drug levels significantly. And it goes on about how the SSRIs inhibit an enzyme that plays a key role in metabolizing beta blockers. So they're studying this, and it's physiologically, there's a problem. Researchers examined data on blood concentration of drugs and drug clearance, et cetera, et cetera. Overall, patients on antidepressants and beta blockers showed a 15 to 20% decrease in systolic blood pressure and 25% increased risk for bradycardia, slowing of the heart rate. So with a low blood pressure and slow heart rate, you're going to be dizzy and have a greater risk of falling and maybe breaking something. So it was interesting to see that. But if you go into a nursing home, my month rotation in a hospital adjacent nursing home when I was in my internship, and I spent my nights there going through the patient's charts and making a flow chart. This is before computers, making flow charts on a graph paper, all the drugs they were taking, when they were given, and how they were never stopped. So there are people on 12 different drugs. So anyway, it's polypharmacy is making the drug companies a lot of money. The next article, a study called Aquatic finds clear harm from aspirin anticoagulation combo. Again, two drugs finding out, oops, oopsie daisy, problems. So they said it was a very definitive study, very negative effects putting these two drugs together, blood thinners and aspirin. And they say the findings should lead to a major reversal of the common practice of combining aspirin with these blood thinners. And they're used together because coronary artery disease and atrial fibrillation are common and often coexistent. So is magnesium deficiency and vitamin C deficiency, for which both of them can be treated. And then their second reason that they're used together, both conditions have an indication for one of the drugs. Third, doctors, that's the recipe book medicine that doctors are definitely getting into. Third, doctors often consider conditions in isolation. And fourth, they think aspirin is a benign drug, but one aspirin will cause a bleeding because when it hits part of your esophageal wall or intestinal wall, it will burn and cause capillary bleeding. That's probably enough, except to say, after 2 years of follow-up, the trial was stopped early for causing harm in the people who were taking the two drugs. Death from any cause occurred in 13% of the two drug group versus the one drug group was 8%. And the rate of major bleeding in the two drug group was 10% versus 3.4% in the one drug group. And the last topic is a study linking calcium crystals to future knee osteoarthritis. So I'm bringing this up. They say it's new research reveals that calcium crystals deposited in the knee may be more than just a consequence of osteoarthritis. It could be a cause. They tracked 6,400 adults with x-rays. Patients with knee calcium crystals were 75% more likely to develop knee osteoarthritis. Additionally, looking ahead, researchers are exploring whether treatments targeting crystal-related inflammation could help prevent or slow osteoarthritis. I mean, what do they think? They have no anti-inflammatory drugs that don't cause terrible side effects, like the non-steroidal anti-inflammatories. They cause heart disease. So what do I know about this? It all means learning about this is we can keep recommending magnesium, which helps dissolve calcium crystals in soft tissue where it shouldn't be deposited. You can use lotions and balms directly on the knees. I've had a lot of knee injuries, and I'll put the balm on and wrap a big headscarf around my knee and go to bed with that on. And of course, take my Remag magnesium. You can dissolve calcium crystals with magnesium. That's one of its jobs. And then magnesium will direct the calcium to the bones and teeth. And there we have it. There we have it, Ginny.
Very good reporting. And here were some of the comments. Dr. Carolyn Dean is so intellectually stimulating. I love this medium for getting her learning and information. Dr. Dean's critiques of these research articles is invaluable. Thank you so much. I learn so much every week from Dr. Dean. So hearts out to everybody. And then Mary, for some reason, did not know magnesium dissolves calcium crystals. She must be a new listener. So, yay, Mary, welcome to the club. And also, the most worst one-liner I've ever heard in my life, Nan posted it. If two vegans get into an argument, is it still called a beef?
No, they would never call it a beef. That would be very inappropriate.
Oh my God, it's so funny.
That's good, Nan. Thank you.
That was very good. And of course, we're going to close out the show with our favorite question of all time. Can we put all of the RNA Reset Pico liquids in the same large cup of water and sip on all of them throughout the day? It would be a little easier for me to do that.
Absolutely. Do that. Yes. Do that. And I had all the products here one day that I use, because I'll use some Zevia, Z-E-V-I-A soda in my drink, and maybe a little lemon juice and some Pellegrino water. You can just make it a tasty experience. You don't have to suffer. I mean, was it Rachel who was just tossing it back? Neat.
Yes.
Mineral.
Actually, Rachel and I got a big off-camera lecture last week from Carolyn and I, and she was so distraught, she wrote a song called Take Your Medicine, right? Mm. So we're going to listen to that on the way out. But before we do, let me just say, if you want to learn more about Dr. Dean's work, please visit drcarolyndean.com. That's Carolyn's baby pictures. You can tell she's been at this a long time. If you're interested in the formulas, it's rnareset.com. And we're in the process of doing a major revamp on our website to make things easier to find and more compelling for you to also be able to share with your friends and family. Don't forget, gift giving season is coming up, and you can make a gift to a friend on our website now. And also picopets.com for your furry loved ones. So don't leave them out in the cold. And we've got lots of great testimonials rolling in on the products now and new videos up on social media. So be sure to follow all that, because it's very fun. So Carolyn, should we listen to Rachel's new song on the way out?
Well, I'd like to listen to it now.
Okay.
And then we'll hear the outro from Michael Brown.
Okay. All right. We're going to listen to Rachel's song.
Take it down. Cherry syrup, bitter pills, that stuff would spin me round. Now I'm grown, life's got flavors worse than that, but I still choke it down, no matter where I'm at. I take my medicine. Messed up more than once, yeah, I played the fool. Thought I could dodge the dose, rewrite the rule. But karma's got a way of filling up the spoon. And I'm sitting here staring at it, knowing it's due soon. It ain't just pills, it's choices, it's pain. It's the lessons learned from walking through the rain. But I'd rather face it head on than pretend. 'Cause healing starts when you take it to the end.
Very good, Rachel. Yay!
Oh, no, that's beautiful. That's so cool.
That was great. I hope everybody heard it. Did it broadcast? I think
so. You have been listening to Dr. Carolyn Dean, the Doctor of the Future.
Great.
Become a member of drcarolindean.com and get access to all her leading edge of creation information, as well as archives, webinars, and other valuable media resources. Join Dr. Dean and Ginny Almighty same time again next week.